Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach.
And we're here on a Friday.
Happy Friday, my friend.
Happy Friday indeed, to talk about minute 149 through 150.
John, we're in it.
We're in the final stretch.
We're in the final 10, my friend.
Well, we entered the final 10 yesterday. And it's worth noting, and I forgot to mention this. Yesterday, we passed the number of episodes for Dune Part 1, because Dune Part 1 was 148 episodes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's right.
Kind of falling a little bit behind on these things to remember, but honestly, there's a lot. So,
hey, we get to them eventually, all right? Yeah.
Don't at me.
Well, damn. This is officially the longest season of the Dune Minute.
The longest of the two seasons of the Dune Minute? Yeah. We left off yesterday with Paul slowly making his way around the ring, finding that Chani is still very displeased with him existing, seemingly, in this moment. And
he just like course corrects and goes immediately away from her.
He gives her a look and then just turns completely away and draws his Chris knife.
Yeah. I love his back scabbard.
I love the way that he has his Chris knife stored. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe this is the first time we've seen Paul's Chris knife in close detail.
I think it is.
In this movie. And there was a discussion on Blue Sky recently. And by recently, I mean in the last couple weeks or so. Mm-hmm. Certainly in the last several weeks by the time this episode comes out. About the Chris knife that Paul uses in Dune Part 2. And I, along with some other members of the Dune community on Blue Sky, seem to all be in agreement that this is the same knife that was used by Jameis in Part 1. And it would stand to reason that Paul would, among everything else in Jameis's life, inherit Jameis's Chris knife as well.
That makes sense. I'll buy that for a dollar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went back into Part 1 to see like just how detailed, and it has the same like kind of curvy shape to it with that harder angle. Mm-hmm. And you could kind of see some of the details in the carvings that are on the side of the blade, but the Blu-ray that I have for Part 1 is a 1080p Blu-ray. The Part 2 Blu-ray is a 4K Blu-ray, so unfortunately, my Part 1 Blu-ray isn't as high def as I would like it to be.
Now, in the dream sequences where we see the Chris knife on the sand.
The one in the sand and the one that's in Chani's bloody hand?
Yeah.
That is not this knife.
Okay, different carvings?
We had this conversation on Blue Sky as well. That is the knife that Chani gave Paul.
Ah, okay.
That belonged to Chani's aunt. And who we believe could have been Leah Kynes or someone else, maybe. But yes, the knife that specifically is in front of Jessica as she's sitting in the little alcove is a straight Chris knife blade, which is the one that Paul is given, because we also see the scabbard that Paul pulls the knife from, and it has that same symbol on it as well.
Okay.
Notably, a different knife than the one that Jessica received from Shout Out Mapes.
Whatever happened to that one?
Shout out. I would assume it got destroyed during the attack on Eric Keen.
Damn. What a waste.
Yeah. It's disrespectful, honestly.
I hope it was bloodied.
Probably wasn't.
Yeah, I guess this would be the first time we've seen Paul's knife in detail.
Yep.
All right, cool. Just to say it again, back scabbard might be an elite way of carrying it.
Maybe.
seems to be very, very convenient.
Especially, we see a lot of different ways that the Chris knife is carried throughout these movies.
I like the back, and I like the like right above your knee.
Yeah,
like on your thigh. I like that one too.
Stilgar carries his across his lower back.
Yeah, that's a
parallel good way. To the ground.
That's good too.
Some people, some Fremen we've seen carry theirs like across their chest.
I don't like that one.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem very, like, yes, it's convenient, but it's an awkward way of pulling.
Yeah. Unless you just pull it down and then.
Down is different. I've seen up, though.
Oh, yeah. Like, having to.
Yeah, that's weird.
I don't know.
I mean, obviously, it's personal preference, but I do like the back.
I don't like the Chris knife along the calf.
Nah, unless that's you're going to do a smaller Chris knife.
Yeah.
As your secondary knife, I guess.
Yeah.
No, back seems good. Back seems real nice. You know, it's pretty good. You can get to it quick.
Yep.
And you can pull it out in a stealthy manner.
And it also doesn't get in your way if you're doing shit in front of you or whatever. So.
It's a good one. It's good. So, Paul is bladed at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Fade is bladed. And Fade makes his way into Paul. And from this point on...
Into Paul?
Well, he wishes.
Fall.
Jesus Christ.
So, we have Chal Chusel. Chal PB&J.
PB&J.
Fall.
Yep. Fall now. I wish we could use this one for a lot longer.
Yeah. Unfortunate.
Fade makes his way to Paul.
Yep.
In just full fight mode.
Yep.
And we're in it, man. We are in the fight at this point. Paul does some like clever like psyops bullshit right here.
He thinks he's trying to do some clever psyop shit.
He tries.
Here. He's like, I'm happy to meet you, cousin.
As if it's going to make Fade go, huh? What?
No, if anything, Fade is even hornier to kill Paul now. Because Fade's just like, cousin, is that right? Well, you wouldn't be the first relative I've killed. And had Paul done some preliminary research like his soon-to-be wife, Irulan, he would know that Fade killed his mom.
Yeah. Okay, so put yourself in the pants of a layperson. Someone who's just viewing this movie to watch the movie.
Sure.
Is there any way that they would have known this?
That who would have known what?
That Fade killed his mom.
Yeah.
Did they say that explicitly?
Yeah, they say because there was the whole reason of why did Gaius Hellen-Mohheim send Margot Fenring instead of going herself to Gedi Prime? And Gaius Hellen-Mohheim's like, she's I'm kind of a motherly figure, which
no.
Questionable.
Yeah.
And based on his own interactions with his own mother, I thought it best not to go. And then Irulan's like, what happened to his mother? And then Margot Fenring is like, oh yeah, he fucking killed her.
Is it explicitly said like
that? Yes, it is explicitly said like that.
Huh. That is a complete blank spot in my memory. Because I know that's canon. I know it's canon that Fade mm-hmm. killed his mother and or father.
In Denis' movie, it is spelled outright, okay. I have killed my mother.
Okay.
Or Fade has killed his mother.
Well, I take back my question then. I thought that was a weird thing to say that with no preamble in the movie. All right. Hey man. I'll admit when I'm wrong.
Yeah. The amble's been preed.
So at this point, Paul delivers the iconic.
Oh yeah, are we just gonna talk about the meme?
Yeah. I mean, we kinda have to.
Yeah.
Gives the iconic, may thy knife chip and shatter.
while also doing the Atreides salute that Duncan Idaho does.
Yes.
With the cross over the heart and then the blade up on his forehead.
Right.
Which is both the homage to Duncan and the homage to Jamis.
Yes. And in what might be the most emotion that Fade has shown in this entire movie, he, I think, gives a in earnest chuckle.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's having the time.
He like, this is a for real laugh.
Yeah.
From Fade. Maybe even a for real laugh from Austin Butler.
May thy knife chip and shatter.
Oh, just dripping. He repeats the words. He repeats the words with such sarcasm. Oh, yeah. My God. It's so funny.
Nuh-uh.
And it really is a no you moment.
Yeah. God, the amount of memes that had when this movie came out was just so good. So good.
It's great. This is a very nice...
Fate's just like, fuck whatever like ritual-ass shit you're saying. I just want to fight.
Yeah. He's like, I'm not used to this. All of my people, or most of the people I've killed, are drugged up, so I don't have to do this preamble bullshit.
Yeah.
And they get into it, man. They just...
Fade makes the first lunge.
He does.
And then it's just, it's 13 seconds of solid, just like quick, super fast stabs and slashes. At one point, there's like a really good clank of the two knives hitting together.
I tried to do a little bit of play-by-play on this. So Fade makes first strike, which is a lunging motion at Paul. They have a very quick moment of like defensive and offensive, really close hand quarter or close quarter hand combat.
Yep.
At one point, Paul lunges at Fade with his knife. Fade avoids it and catches his arm.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul then does a like headbutt motion.
Yep.
And which causes Fade to like stumble backwards for a couple steps, giving a much needed like little break.
Sure.
From this, Paul comes back in with like a overhand lunge, like stabbing down motion, which is easily dodged by Fade. But as Fade goes to like grab Paul's arm, Paul like whacks on, whacks off this moment and starts spinning Fade around in a circle.
Mr. Miyagi up in this bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he gets Fade into a position where Paul is stabbing downward at Fade.
Yep.
In a kind of a very wide swinging arm motion. And to this, Fade blocks it with a kick, which I think is badass.
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty cool. So he, blocks the stab with a kick. And that is like, I think that's right when they get the nice like blade clatter is right there. They go to a classic, like Paul's on the defensive, Fade is coming down with his blade and we get him attacking, which the sound doesn't quite make sense.
Why steel and what I would assume is bone
or bone adjacent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would make a
clanging sound. Fine. Whatever.
Sure.
I'll allow it, but it doesn't quite make sense.
No, I get it. Yeah.
And after this, we're kind of left with some blue balls. We stop mid fight.
Yeah. We're only 13 seconds in.
So yeah, that's it.
That's the week.
Well, I guess we got to rate it.
We do. Zach, if a number of Shai-Huluds had to attack the Imperial tent in the basin outside of Syracuse, New York. Now, if a number of Shai-Huluds had to attack the Imperial tent outside of Arrakeen, how many Shai-Huluds are attacking this tent?
And the number of Shai-Huluds is based on how much I enjoyed this week.
Yes. Yeah, of course.
Okay. I won't question the mechanics of this attack.
Don't worry about it.
Okay. I'm gonna have to go 7, man. I enjoyed. 7? Yeah, I enjoyed this.
Even with the horrible doing the dirtiest of dirties to Thufir Hawat himself.
Yes, and comedy, John. Yes, and because I've been terribly inconsistent on my reasonings behind these, I feel no remorse in saying, even without Thufir, I enjoyed this week.
That's fair.
The omission of Thufir and the omission of a lot of the book dialogue from this movie sequence is a travesty. But I think I've become numb to it slightly.
It also doesn't really affect this story that Denis is telling as much.
It doesn't. It doesn't. Now, if it were my hundreds of millions of dollars that were making this movie, sure, absolutely it would have been in there.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. I'm just a humble viewer.
Mm-hmm.
And podcaster, I guess.
But, sure.
So yes, it should have been in there. But for the week that we were given, I think it was a 7, because we got some good dialogue between the Emperor and Paul. We got some primo looks from Jessica.
Yes, we did.
The unspoken fight that her and Gaius El Moheim were having was wonderful.
Yep.
Chani was giving, I think, what may be her best Chani faces in the movie here. Some of her best, at least.
Some of her best. She had some really good Chani faces earlier in the movie.
Sure. But these, I mean, there's a lot of unspoken emotion coming from her.
Sure.
And then, of course, the fight between Fade and Paul.
Fall?
Fall, yes, thank you. Which we'll talk about a lot more about next week.
We'll talk about to completion next week.
Oh, we'll get to completion, John.
Yeah, we've got some blue balls going into the weekend, but trust me, we'll finish.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to put it solidly at a 7.
Alrighty. Even trying to agitate your score downward, I meet you at a 7. Okay. I think this is, like I said earlier, this is Christopher Walken's like time to shine with that one speech that he has about Leto. And man, the number of times when I was taking my notes that I would just hit the back button for the consider what you're about to do Paul Atreides silence moment.
It's true. Good voice use.
That carries so much this week. Not saying that it's the only thing that's good, because it's far from the only thing that's good this week, but yes, this is a very good week. I'm very happy with it. Okay. Even if we don't get everyone's favorite Mentat Thufir Hawat.
Well, we will remember what we lost and rejoice in what we have.
Well, what we have is 2 days without the Dune Minute. So
that is true.
Are we gonna rejoice in 2 days without the Dune Minute?
I will, yeah.
Well, by the time this is out, we've been rejoicing and not having recording. So
we make it sound like a burden, and it is.
It's still fun.
It's great. It's great. We're just, hey, listen, this is senioritis talking.
Yeah.
This is we can see the end.
Uh-huh.
And we're just pushing for it.
And we have 8 more episodes. 8.
8 more till the end of this movie.
That's crazy.
All right. Well, how about we pick it up next week and talk about the final full week of the Dune Minute.
We'll do that. In the meantime, you can find the Dune Minute online. We are on Blue Sky at DuneMinute.com, and you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com to get in touch. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.
See ya.